That was our show on the assassination of Bobby Kennedy with Shane O'Sullivan. And we'd also like to take this opportunity to thank our generous contributors, Joe from Hudson, Massachusetts, who called, pledged $100 for the From JFK to 9/11 premium, and also Norman from New Hartford, Connecticut, who called to make a similar pledge for the $100 for the From JFK to 9/11 premium. And Norman also said that Americans need to be engaged, and they're not. And I thank you, Norman and Joe, for their calls, and Norman for that sentiment. It's very important. And we'd like to go on here with the you have a clip prepared regarding the John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, this was a clip. This isn't part of the premium, but this was a clip that I put together for the, what was it, the June show? I forget, when we talked about JFK and the Joan Mellon interview and stuff. And I put this together, and it was a compilation of the famous speech by JFK, and I'm sure you'll recognize it as soon as it starts playing. And I just took all the best parts and pulled it together so it's one cohesive 2.5 minute clip with some music. Hope you enjoy it.
Great. Thanks, Gus.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. The evolution of gunpowder to its ultimate limit has warned mankind of the terrible consequences of failure. So it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
And that was taken from the speech at the National Press Club. I think it was in 1962.
And here we're like the printing press that President Kennedy talked about as a key pillar of freedom. And you can support us. And you have kept us on the air over these many years by calling in. So please call in at 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. And for a $100 pledge, you'll receive this wonderful premium put together from JFK to 9/11, which includes the book The New Pearl Harbor by Professor David Ray Griffin, the book that started the whole independent 9/11 investigation movement back in 2004. And you'll also receive five History Counts programs, the following: the CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy, which is with Joan Mellon, who wrote A Farewell to Justice; the execution of Martin Luther King with William Pepper, who represented the King family in a successful 1999 lawsuit, which proved that Lloyd Jowers did not kill Martin Luther King and that he was killed by a conspiracy involving government officials. You'll also get Who Killed Bobby with Shane O'Sullivan, where it shows that Sirhan Sirhan did not fire the fatal shots. You'll also get two programs we did on 9/11 with the two leading scholars in the 9/11 movement. One is Why Indeed Did the World Trade Center Collapse with Professor Stephen Jones, the physicist who said that the evidence, after studying the collapse, he said the evidence compels the conclusion that it was a controlled demolition. And we'll be playing clips from his show shortly. And we also have an hour-long interview that we did with Professor David Ray Griffin, the author of the new Pearl Harbor. That hour-long interview is called 9/11 Unanswered Questions, and those were done for the series History Counts. So in addition to the book, the five History Counts programs, which is a 3-CD package, you'll also get two audio mixes by our general manager, Peter Beauchamp, which in news clips and music takes you back to Dallas in 63 and back to 9/11. So please call 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. Please make a $100 pledge, and you'll get this wonderful premium sent to you. And as I said earlier in the program, on this anniversary of 9/11, you can turn the dial from one end to another. You can go to your cable TV, and you can listen to all those network news shows, which go on for 24 hours. And you are not going to hear the information that we're giving you this morning on this fundraising special from JFK to 9/11. They're not going to tell you about this information. It's information that all citizens need to know in order to be part of the government, because we are supposed to be the government in this country. So please go to the phone and call 203-384-9756 and make a $100 pledge to WPKN. We stay on the air because of your generosity, and we're able to do what we do because we don't have to go on bended knees to corporate advertisers to stay on the air. We rely on your generosity. So thank you very much for calling.
I want to go ahead and play one more clip from the premium. It is track 6 from Stephen Jones, Controlled Demolition Hypothesis. And then we're going to segue into some more 9/11 topics and clips and points and et cetera, et cetera.
What is your hypothesis as to why the World Trade Center collapsed?
There are two aspects here. First, I find that the official, that is the 9/11 Commission report and the FEMA report and the NIST report, so the official story of the collapse is insufficient and does not account for all that we observe that occurred with those collapses on 9/11. In particular, Building 7, I might underline that, not even mentioned the collapse of the third skyscraper that fell that day, not even mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report, discussed in the FEMA report, but they admit that their best hypothesis, fire and damage, has only a low probability of occurrence. All three of these skyscrapers, after they collapsed, had molten metal pools in the rubble and in the sub-basement areas. Furthermore, we see molten metal flowing out of the building, and I analyze the characteristics of that, and we conclude with some degree of confidence now that the evidence is very strong. It's compelling, we say in science, for the use of thermite incendiaries and along with explosives in the buildings. Of course, the thrust of my paper is that this evidence is so strong and consistent with the use of explosives and incendiaries that there needs to be another independent now of the government for the first time. That would be nice to have an independent investigation which looks at all the data, including the molten metal evidences, and includes the hypothesis that explosives could have been pre-planted in these buildings to bring them down.
One of your critical observations in your paper is that the building went into a vertical symmetrical free fall. Why is that significant?
Because that's what you see when you use explosives to do a controlled demolition. You remove the material out of the way of the falling upper floors using explosives, and then, of course, the roof line will come down at near free fall speed. It's like dropping an apple off the corner of the roof. If there's nothing in the way, it will fall at free fall speed.
Another observation in your paper is that there appeared to be squibs or puffs of smoke coming out of the buildings. How do they relate?
Yes. Well, again, when one looks at controlled demolition, where explosives were used, We've probably all seen those on TV. You see often these plumes of dust and debris, which we refer to as squibs. When the explosive goes off, then this plume of debris and ash and dust shoots out of the building horizontally at high velocity. And you, for instance, with the Southwark Towers, if you Google on that and look at the video of the collapse, the controlled demolition of the Southwark Towers, you'll see these squibs puffing out the sides as that thing starts to collapse and as it comes down. Well, we see those squibs in these three skyscrapers. The North Tower in particular, I think, is a dramatic of those squibs well below the pulverization zone above. And way down now, you already see these multiple squibs squirting out of the building, but at high speeds. And you know, as a characteristic of controlled explosive demolition.
These would be then the thermite charges placed at certain points in the steel columns and key steel columns, is that?
That's almost correct. I have to add one thing. Thermite ordinarily does not explode. It produces this hot molten iron, just like what we see pouring out of the South Tower, by the way. But it doesn't explode, so how do we get these explosions? Well, it could have been some other explosive like HMX or RDX. However, there is a form of thermite which is explosive, and this is called super thermite. And you can Google on that, you know, and you'll learn that if you use ultrafine aluminum and iron oxide powders mixed together, then when that is set off, which can be done with a radio signal, by the way, then when that is set off, it explodes. And it's very high energy density, which means that low weight, high energy released, and you can then cut through a steel column with these explosives, which would have to be pre-positioned, of course. I mean, you have to know where to put these in order to get that building to come straight down.
It would require some expertise.
Oh, sure. Yeah, if you read about implosions, to get a building to fall straight down like we observe with Building 7 in particular, and that was just beautiful, straight down, symmetric, free fall speed, squibs, all the characteristics, my friends, of controlled demolition.
Hi, if you just joined us, you're listening to a fundraising special from JFK to 9/11. My name is Ken McDermott. I'm here with Gus Condivero, and we're broadcasting at WPKN 89.5 FM, Bridgeport, Connecticut. We stream live at WPKN.org. And that interview was an excerpt from an interview I did with Professor Stephen Jones called Why Indeed Did the World Trade Center Collapse? And Professor Jones wrote the initial paper, the really seminal work, physics work, in 2005 on explaining the physics of the collapse of the Twin Towers in Building Number 7. And he made the first case that the buildings were brought down in a controlled demolition. And according to Professor Jones, the evidence really compels that conclusion. And we'll play some more excerpts from that interview in a moment. In the meantime, we would really appreciate it if you go to your phones and you can get this entire interview. You can get five entire interviews from History Counts, including the Jones interview. We have an hour-long interview with David Ray Griffin, one of the leading scholars on 9/11. His interview is called 9/11 Unanswered Questions. You can get those two 9/11 interviews plus additional interviews we do with the History Counts on CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy, the execution of Martin Luther King, where you'll learn that he was not killed by James Earl Jones. He didn't do it either. And then also, who killed Bobby with Shane O'Sullivan, where you will learn that Sirhan Sirhan did not fire the fatal shots which killed Senator Kennedy. He was killed by a as yet unknown gunman who was standing behind Bobby Kennedy and shot him point blank in the fatal bullet entering just below his right ear. So those five History Counts programs, plus the book The New Pearl Harbor by our guest David Ray Griffin, plus two audio mixes by our general manager Peter Beauchamp, Back to Dallas in 1963 and Back to 9/11, which are a mixture of news clips and music and interviews, which give you the atmosphere of the fateful events of those days. All of that stuff, the four CD set, the book, you can get for a pledge to WPKN of $100. So that's, I think, a pretty good premium for the value. And it's also the greater value even is that you keep us on the air, because we've said before, you can turn the dial this morning and you're not going to hear this information about President Kennedy, about Martin Luther King, about Bobby Kennedy, especially on this ninth anniversary of 9/11. You are not going to hear the information about 9/11 that you're hearing on this station, not on TV, not on any other radio station, but right here at WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport. So we thank you so much for calling the pledge line at 203-384-9756. For $100, you get that entire premium package. That's 203-384-9756. Please give a ring and help to keep WPKN on the air so that we can continue to bring you this kind of a programming. That's 203-384-9756. Thank you, listeners, for your generosity.
That's right. And your donations are a vote for public affairs here at PKN. You know, we love the music programming. We love the diversity, the other talk shows. But the PKN public affairs department needs a boost. You know, you can vote with your wallet by donating and getting some of these premiums and asking for more public affairs programming like what we're bringing you today, because this is really valuable information that you just don't get anywhere else on the air, on TV. A lot of this stuff is available on the internet. You need to go and compile it. We're bringing it to you broken down in a way that is not manipulated. It's not angled. I don't have any. I'm not selling anything. Ken's not selling anything.
We don't make anything off of this stuff.
Guys
Cantavero and I are volunteers, and we have three volunteers, Shell, Colette, and Bonnie, who came in early on a Saturday morning where they'd normally be sleeping, I think, to answer the telephone calls, and they're giving up their time because they believe, as we believe, in non-commercial radio. We believe in democracy. We believe that we need to have an educated citizenry, and we are willing to give up our time in order to ensure that you get the information you need to understand how to run this government, because after all, we are the government. And Gus and I don't necessarily come from the same political point of view any more than, say, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich come from the same point of view. But we believe that this country should be run by you and me and not by a small group of big shots meeting outside of the public spotlight behind closed doors. So we please help to keep us on the air by calling 203-384-9756. 203-384-9756.
I'm just going through all my papers here, and I just want to get through a couple of these things before we run out of time today. We've talked to her before about the history of false flag, and I just want to bring it back to that for just a minute, and I want to run through some of these things I've compiled, because they are really important to help people understand 9/11, because we could talk about the demolition and all the failures of intelligence and all that sort of stuff, but the people always want to come back to the same question, why, who, how, things like that. And if you talk about the history of false flag, then people can kind of understand that it's a strategy that's been done many, many times before. The Wikipedia definition of false flag is operations that are covert and designed to deceive the public in such a way that the operations appear as though they are being carried out by other entities. The name is derived from the military concept of flying false colors, that is, flying the flag of a country other than one's own. And there are many, many, many examples of this in history, but several in particular is the U.S. Liberty attack, which you've done a show on. And that was the rundown on that was Israel attacked a U.S. Liberty in 1967 in an attempt to sink it and blame it on their enemies during the Six-Day War, get America into the war, turned it into a much bigger fray than what it actually was. Lyndon Johnson and Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara showed passive approval for the attacks by refusing to investigate, issuing orders to deny assistance to the Liberty. Operation Gladio was something that started right after World War II ended, where the NATO stay-behind forces in Italy remained there to battle the communists. We talked about the CIA quite extensively earlier in the show. and using NATO powers, the CIA operated in Italy after World War II. They supported far-right neo-fascists in Italy in the 60s and 70s as a reaction to communism. They encouraged Italian fascist extremists to carry out bombings that would be blamed on the rising Communist Party to influence the elections. They had hoped that people would then demand more restrictive government to deal with the communists, thereby selling their rights away for protection from a non-existent enemy. And that's exactly what we have going on with terrorism. Terrorism is used to try to get people to demand things like the Patriot Act. We're selling out our freedom for some kind of false sense of security. And when you have an unchecked authority figure like the CIA running the government, running around, doing whatever they want, they're going to use things like terror to try to get you to just give away more and more of your liberty in exchange for their security. But they're the ones that are perpetrating it to begin with.
In just a moment, we're going to go back to an excerpt of the Stephen Jones interview because he presents the science, and I think that's a good entry point for somebody who wants to understand 9/11 is to try to get a handle on the science. So please call 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756 for a pledge of $100. You'll get the entire Stephen Jones interview and the other four interviews that are part of this premium package, plus the book, The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, which started this whole movement for 9/11 truth. And also, you'll get the audio mixes by Peter Beauchan. So why don't we go back to...
We're going to play a compilation of some audio from news reports on the day of 9/11, 2001, eyewitness reports of seeing and hearing explosions in the buildings before the collapse.
And then we'll go into the Stephen Jones analysis. Okay, great.
And we heard the noise associated with an implosion.
Secondary explosion on Tower 2.
Some sort of explosive device.
We're obviously having a bit of trouble right now maintaining our location because we just heard one more explosion.
There was another major explosion.
Do you know anything about those extra explosions we heard?
No, I do not.
Were they car bombs?
I have no idea, ma'am.
The string shook, and I heard like an explosion.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse? To me, it sounded like an explosion.
We heard a very loud blast, an explosion.
They were taking photographs and securing this area just prior to that huge explosion that we all heard and felt.
Not clear now is why this explosion took place.
When there was some sort of collapse or explosion.
From street level, as though it had exploded up, a giant rolling ball of flame, and the firefighters screamed, run.
It was this blast of warm air. It wasn't hot. It was warm. And it picked me up and threw me up against the wall of the building that was...
You were picked up off the ground.
Physically picked up off the ground.
I remember an explosion. At that point, I got knocked out. I don't remember anything. Then I got up, and I looked out the window because the windows exploded, and the street below caved in. And at that point, there was like fireballs coming up.
An hour later than that, we had that big explosion from much, much lower. I don't know what on earth caused that.
About 15 minutes after they made their entry, we heard a boom. I don't know if that was the infrastructure that was going or another explosion.
Again, there has been a second explosion.
John, just seconds ago, there was a huge explosion, and it appears right now the second World Trade Tower has just collapsed.
All of a sudden, I heard rumbling, and we all started running away from it. The glass, like, blew out and threw me onto the sidewalk, and I couldn't see for, like, 20 seconds.
It was like holy hell, coming down them stairs. And then when we finally got to the bottom, we were coming out on a mezzanine level there. And another explosion came right on me, just everyone flying.
We stuck on the stairs for a while. We finally got down to the lobby. Then we get to the lobby, it was this big explosion.
So I was real lucky. I don't know what happened to the people behind me when that blast occurred.
And it was actually on the 78th floor of the second tower. And was evacuating the tower and experienced all these explosions and made his way back down.
We presume because of the initial explosion, there may have been secondary explosions as well that were detonated in the building by these terrorists.
There was a secondary explosion, probably a device either planted before or on the aircraft that did not explode until an hour later.
I heard a second explosion and another rumble and more smoke and more dust. I ran inside the buildings, the chandelier shook, and again, black smoke filled the air. Within another 5 minutes, we were covered again with more silt and more dust. And then a fire marshal came in and said we had to leave because if there was a third explosion, this building might not last.
Hi, good morning. This is Ken McDermott Rowland here with Gus Canavero. If you just joined us, we're doing a special program from JFK to 9/11. It's fundraising time here at WPKN. And if you can call, we would really appreciate it. It's 203-384-9756. And for a pledge of $100, you receive a terrific package we've put together especially for this from JFK to 9/11 program. It includes five separate programs, including CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy, the execution of Martin Luther King, Who Killed Bobby Kennedy, and two programs on 9/11, Why Indeed Did the World Trade Center Collapse, and 9/11 Unanswered Questions. The package also includes the book, The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, the book that really started the whole independent investigation of 9/11. It also includes two Peter Beauchamp mixes, Back to Dallas in 1963 and Back to 9/11. And you can receive those, that entire package, for a pledge of $100 by calling 203-384-9756. We have three phone volunteers who came in this Saturday morning to take your calls, and they gave up their time. And everybody here is a volunteer. We run a lean ship here. We only have one full-time employee, and we reach a lot of people in Connecticut and New York. It's 203-384-9756. Thank you for your support. You're the reason we're on the air. We are a listener-sponsored station. We're able to present information you're not going to get from any other radio station or TV station because we're supported by you, not by advertising. So please call 203-384-9756. And I believe we're going to return to
We're going to play one more clip from Stephen Jones called Fire and Steel. And then we are going to be going rapid fire through a bunch of really short, less than 1 minute clips from news pieces on 9/11, supporting some of the theories proposed by Stephen Jones and David Ray Griffin.
Great. Well, another interesting aspect of your paper was the comparison of the probable temperature of the fire with the temperature that's required in order to melt the steel that was in the steel columns holding up the World Trade Center buildings.
Sure.
Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. So the temperatures of the fires you can determine quite well because of the dark color of the smoke. We see that as mentioned by others, the temperature of the fires at the World Trade Center was not unusual. And I'm quoting here now from Professor Eager, it was most definitely not capable of melting steel. And others, Frank Gehl, for instance, point that out too. There's enormous agreement on that. Fires were not anywhere near hot enough to melt the steel.
And these fires were being fueled by the jet aircraft's fuel and materials within the building?
Sure, that's right, exactly. The jet fuel burned off within minutes, most of it, according to the NIST report. And it's a kerosene-like fuel, so that burns off quickly. And then you have paper and furniture burning. Now look, we've all seen, I think, wood-burning stoves made out of steel or iron. And you can stoke up the fire as hot as you want. You can burn paper in them, kerosene. It's just not going to melt. The stove is not going to melt. And here's the reason. These ordinary fires burn at about 650 centigrade, which, looking at my table and my paper, is about 1,200 Fahrenheit. Now, to melt structural steel would require 1,500 centigrade, nearly 2,800 Fahrenheit. I mean, we're nowhere near close to that. So we don't worry about that when we burn wood, paper, whatever, in our wood-burning stoves. It's not going to melt on you.
So as I understand it, the difference between the probable temperature of the fire in the World Trade Center and the temperature required to melt steel looks like about 1,600 degrees Fahrenheit in difference.
1,600 Fahrenheit is an enormous gap. And so, really, the early reports that the steel melted, those were just wrong. There's no serious scientist that I know of or engineer that says it melted. But now, you know, give credit. The FEMA and NIST people say, well, it's just the temperatures were hot enough to cause warping and failure. But then we look at the next step. Okay, how do we test a hypothesis like that? The hypothesis being that fires were hot enough to cause failure. of the World Trade Center trusses. So here's what happened. NIST actually commissioned Underwriters Laboratories to build and test floor trusses modeled after the World Trade Center. So these are actual fire endurance tests using floor trusses based on the World Trade Center design. So, you know, they're saying, well, let's see what happens. And this, you know, it's just the right thing to do. That's how we answer questions in science, is with experiment. So they subjected the floor tests, floor trusses to fire, very intense now, fires, and for a considerable period of time, and here's what happened. The floors did not fail. That is, there was no collapse. Of course, they didn't melt. We all expect that. But they didn't even collapse. Now, this point was noticed by a manager, a lab manager there at Underwriters Laboratories. He's now a friend of mine, Kevin Ryan, and he said, look, what? You did the experiment with fire on, you know, real-life models, World Trade Center floor trusses, and the darn things did not fail. Now what are you going to do?
How long did those experimental fires run?
Oh, longer than the fires lasted in the World Trade Center.
Which, in my notes, indicate that North Tower was hit at 8:46 and collapsed at 10:29, and the South Tower was hit at 9:03 and collapsed in less than an hour at 9:59.
Right. So, you know, less than an hour in one case and just a little over an hour in the other. They did those tests for at least 2 hours. And, you know, so I agree with Kevin Ryan, you know, we have to make a point of this. Now, that fact got Kevin Ryan fired. He was fired because at the Underwriters Lab there, well, the statement was, you use poor judgment, I mean, to release this information. It got out publicly as he was saying, wait, you did the experiment. The fire did not cause collapse of the models. We have to tell the public this and then start looking, you see, at other alternatives.
And that was Stephen Jones. In case you just joined us, this is a WPKN special from JFK to 9/11. We're commemorating the 9th anniversary of September 11th with a presentation which you're not going to hear on other radio stations. That was Professor Stephen Jones, a physicist who authored the work, Why Indeed Did the World Trade Center Collapse? And I don't believe he was ever interviewed on any network. He wasn't interviewed, as far as I know, even on NPR or any commercial stations. But we gave him half an hour here at WPKN so he could lay out this very important information, which he says compels one to the conclusion that the World Trade Center that the Twin Towers in Building 7 were brought down in a controlled demolition. And you can get that entire interview as well as David Ray Griffin's one-hour interview on 9/11, and he wrote the seminal book, The New Pearl Harbor. You can get all of that for a $100 pledge. The five show History Counts programs, the two, which includes two on 9/11, the CIA and the execution of President Kennedy, the CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy, the execution of Martin Luther King, and Who Killed Bobby, all of those interviews, plus David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, which launched this huge independent investigation into 9/11. And other listeners out there, please give a call to 203-384-9756. We're going to go back in just a moment.
And also, listeners, this material is great to hand out to friends. You know, it's not. You may already know some of the stuff that we're talking about, but this is great for handing out to your skeptical friends who you may talk to and say, yeah, you know.
That's right, Gus. And, you know, I own the copyright on these interviews, and I'm saying to you listeners, please burn copies of them and give them away free to your friends.
Right.
Nothing would make me happier for you to make copies of these CDs and give them away, because we'd like people to know what's going on.
Right, exactly.
So that's 203-384-9756. Please join Laura and the other generous listeners who've called in to make that $100 pledge from JFK to 9/11 premium this morning.
All right, we're going to go rapid fire through a whole bunch of these clips. These are from mainstream sources right at the beginning on 9/11, on 9/12. The initial research was accurate. it was spot on. It was exactly what they saw and what they heard. They just reported it. It's what a reporter is trained to do. Tell them what you saw. Tell them what you heard. And it wasn't until later on that all the investigations started to get very mucky when the government and the FBI and the CIA stepped in and started to control all of the flow of information.
Joining me is Jack Kelly. Now, he is a foreign correspondent. He has some information about these attacks. Jack, what can you tell us happened first in New York?
Apparently, what appears to happen was that at the same time two planes hit the building, that the FBI most likely thinks that there was a car or truck packed with explosives underneath the buildings, which also exploded at the same time and brought both of them down.
Now, that's the first time we're hearing that. So two planes and explosives that were in the building, is that correct?
That is the working theory at this point. That is still unconfirmed, but that is what the FBI is going on.
That's pretty interesting. That's what the FBI is going on. The FBI is going on the idea that there were bombs in the building. So,
which is in accord with 118 firemen who said they heard bombs go off.
Right. We're going to get a clip in a minute. We're going to get right to that, where there are firemen who tell what they saw. But right now, this is Richard Gage, an excerpt from Blueprint for 9/11 Truth, talking about World Trade Center 7 and eyewitness testimony there.
Now, let's take a look at the evidence of World Trade Center 7 and see how it stacks up against the typical features of a controlled demolition, starting with, is there a sudden onset of destruction? Let's listen to this emergency word.
We were watching the building, actually, because it was on fire. The bottom floors of the building were on fire. And, we heard this sound that sounded like a clap of thunder. Turned around, we were shocked to see that the building was, it looked like there was a shock wave ripping through the building, and the windows all busted out, and, it was horrifying. Then, about a second later, the bottom floor caved out. And the building followed after that, and we saw the building crash down all the way to the ground.
A sound of a clap of thunder, a shockwave ripping through the building, and windows busting out, and then the building coming down.
So there you go. That's, again, another eyewitness testimony where he saw a shockwave ripping through the building. And the official story is that the oil burner blew up, or the oil tank blew up on the left side of the building, and along with the shaking from the plane impacts caused weakening of the structure of the building. And that is just absolutely
If you listen to the entire Peter Stephen Jones interview, you're going to get a real flavor. I mean, we get the information from a real scientist, a famous physicist. And Stephen Jones is not any wild-eyed radical. He's a very conservative researcher. I think he told me he was a Republican. And that brings me to the point that Richard Gage, who just heard, identified himself as a Reagan Democrat. And he's the leader of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. So this movement to find out what went on 9/11, what went on that day, is not a partisan effort. And it's Republicans, it's Democrats, it's independents, it's liberals, it's conservatives. It's people who are concerned about knowing the truth about an event which is taking us not just into a global war, but has been the pretext for a significant curtailment of American civil rights. So we'd like you to please support our ability to bring you the information you're not hearing anywhere else on the radio dial or on the TV, by calling WPKN Studio. One of our phone volunteers back there, Bonnie Michelle Collette, will take your pledge. Call 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756 for a $100 pledge. You'll receive the special premium from JFK to 9/11, which accompanies this three-hour program that Gus Cantavero and I are doing in our In Context series. That's 203-384-9756. It includes 5 History Counts programs, 3 on assassinations. The one of President Kennedy shows a CIA connection. The execution of Martin Luther King shows that James Earl Ray didn't do it. A jury found that actually government officials were involved in his assassination. Who Killed Bobby, this program we did, which shows that Sirhan Sirhan didn't do it. He was shot by a gunman who stood behind him, and we don't know who that guy is. It includes 2 shows on 9/11 with the 2 leading intellectuals in the independent investigation of 9/11, Professor Stephen Jones, a physicist, and Professor David Ray Griffin. It also includes Professor Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, the seminal work which started off this whole independent investigation of 9/11, and includes Peter Beauchamp's audio clips. And this is a big movement. There are over 1,000 members, for example, of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Why aren't they on network TV with this incredible information? Why don't you hear them on commercial radio? Why don't you hear them on NPR? Well, you can answer that question for yourself, but you're hearing them on WPKN at 89.5 FM, Bridgeport, Connecticut, streaming at WPKN.org. And you're hearing them because listeners like you are calling in to our pledge line at 203-384-9756. So please join Laura and Joe and Norman, who've called just recently this morning, and make a pledge. $100 will get you this fabulous From JFK to 9/11 premium. That's 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. Make a pledge and please help us stay on the air and be allowed to continue to give you this important information.
All right, we've only got about 16 minutes left in the show, and I just want to get through some of these clips really quickly. According to Barry Jennings' testimony, Barry Jennings and Mr. Hess were two people that were stuck in World Trade Center 7. And video was just released because of a Freedom of Information Act request where it showed Mr. Hess up on the eighth floor of the building asking for help. And people had argued saying that, well, that couldn't possibly have been true because the building was emptied out by the firemen and all that sort of stuff. But this video showed that the building was not empty. And Barry Jennings said that he worked in the building, I think, for like 27 years or 30 years, and that they were blown back from the fire escape from the sixth floor stairwell. That was long before the collapse happened, when they were trying to exit. And when they got, they had to go back the sixth floor and come down the other side, and finally they were rescued by the firemen. When they got down to the lobby, the firemen who were helping them out told them not to look down because the floors were covered with bodies and that the lobby had been blown out. And they repeatedly said that it was because there was an explosion in the lobby. There was a bomb in the lobby. There were bombs all over the place. And Barry Jennings later on said that he was an old boiler man and that if it was the oil tank, that it would have been just one side of the building. It would have looked something, if it was even possible to be such a large explosion, it would be like the OKC bomb where one part of it came down, not the whole building, like nice, neat, in a little pile. So this is a clip from three blocks away where the firemen were taking a breather using a payphone to call some of their loved ones and tell them they were all right. And you hear a massive explosion.
Yeah, here's one of the guys who can tell you I'm okay, all right? Here, hold on. You want to call your mother or something?
So you can hear that pretty clearly. That was a pretty large boom, and that was from only three blocks away. And there was some video analysis done on that clip to show exactly where they were. They used some really smart guys used shadow analysis on the video to show the shadow line on the telephone booth and analyzed from what time of year it was, the time of day. It showed you what time of day it was because of where the shadow line came down. And they were able to identify, because of a photo of the building in the background, exactly where they were on the map. And it showed how close they were and how you could hear exactly how loud that was. They were only a couple blocks away, and it was pretty evident that what you were hearing. And we're going to go on to this is to back up what Stephen Jones was talking about before with the squibs and the demolition charges, and these are some of the clips I never got to play in the last couple shows we did. And this one is audio of World Trade Center Building 2 coming down and the sequential popping of all of the charges.
All right, hold it.
So you can hear the delay between the popping and the crashing noise of the glass and the dust and the people screaming. There was the popping, then the building came down. It wasn't the floors dropping down that was causing the loud, massive sounds, because that's what NIST would have you believe. They would have you believe that it was the pancaking of the floors that was causing those noises. That's not true. The The popping was before. It preceded the implosion.
And if you listen to this, to the description, especially by Stephen Jones, of the physics of the collapse of the World Trade Center, you can see that it had to be a controlled demolition. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a fire-caused collapse. And you can get that entire interview, along with the David Ray Griffin's interview, Unanswered Questions, 9/11, as well as the interviews on the CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy, on the Martin Luther King killing, on Who Killed Bobby. You can get those five programs, plus the New World, the New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, the seminal book that started the independent 9/11 investigation movement, plus Peter Beauchamp's audio mixes by calling our pledge line, pledging $100 to WPKN. The number is 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. We only have about 10 minutes left in this program, and we would really appreciate the listeners joining Laura and Joe and Norman and the other Joe and the other callers who've come in and supported us with $100 pledges. You'll get this fabulous premium from JFK to 9/11. You're listening, of course, to WPKN 89.5 FM, Bridgeport, streaming live at WPKN.org. Please help us stay on the air to bring you information you're not going to hear anywhere else on the radio dial, not anywhere on the TV from your cable, by calling 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. In the few minutes remaining, we'd like to play you a clip from Stephen Jones' interview where he talks about the explosive, the incendiary thermite, which he believes was used in the destruction of the World Trade Center, and increasing evidence is pointing that it was.
And then we'll come back and we'll finish up with the last three clips totaling like a minute and 20 seconds.
This is Stephen Jones, and this entire interview is available in the premium package.
You mentioned in your paper prominently the thermite cutter charges that may have been used. Could you tell us more about what thermite is and how it could be might have been used?
Okay. Let me remind everyone that we discussed the molten metal pool. There was also molten metal seen flowing out of the South Tower. If you go to my paper, you can actually click on a video of that. Very impressive. This white, yellow, white hot molten metal flowing out of the tower just before its collapse, and at the point to where it twists and fails. Then, so now keeping in mind this molten metal, and that the fires were not hot enough to melt the steel. So, what in the world is this metal? That brings us to thermite. Thermite is a chemical reaction in which aluminum powder is mixed with iron oxide powder, and those two, it's not hard to, I mean it is hard to get that to initiate and react, but once it's ignited, then it's almost impossible to stop it. You can put water on it, doesn't matter, it'll burn under, react underwater. So what it is that the oxygen attached to the iron and iron oxide is picked up by the aluminum powder. It's actually torn off the iron and grabbed by the aluminum, which holds onto oxygen much tighter than iron, with a tremendous release of energy. It's really, you could say it's burning where the iron oxide provides the oxygen right there, so you don't have to burn air oxygen.
What temperature does a thermite charge reach?
Thermite typically reaches over 4,500 Fahrenheit, way above the melting point of iron or steel. Remember, steel melts at about 2,800. Thermite typically 4,500 Fahrenheit. And so it'll just melt its way right through steel. And that is what we have evidence for, several pieces of evidence, actually.
You alluded to the official explanation. The official explanation is that the fire and the impact combined to bring down all three buildings?
Right. That fire and impact applies, of course, to the towers. In the case of World Trade Center 7, it was not hit by a plane. It was hit by some debris from the North Tower as it fell about 300 feet away, about a football field length away. Some debris did hit that on the south side, but the building did not tip over to the south side. It fell straight down into its own footprint and very rapidly. The official story for this collapse of Building 7 is particularly weak. Even FEMA admitted after they analyzed it that their best hypothesis, which is the fire damage hypothesis, had only a low probability of occurrence, which makes scientists wonder, well, why didn't you consider another hypothesis, you know, such as we're all familiar with explosives in buildings, bring them down with those characteristics that we observe. Perhaps one should at least address that hypothesis and consider that they failed to do so.
Well, are there other examples of skyscrapers collapsing from fire that the government could point to?
Not complete collapses. Like these three skyscrapers collapsed completely and straight down and rapidly. There are partial collapses, to be sure, of buildings. That is, when the fire is intense enough, you'll have a portion of the building ease over and tip over. Sure, that has occurred. But I'm talking now about the complete straight-down collapse of the building. It's important to get the record straight on these towers. I've read it over and over by engineers who just hadn't done their homework because they're wrong on this. And that is the idea that the towers were hollow tubes, that the four walls supported the floors. Well, that's incomplete at best. It's plain wrong. In fact, because there were 47 steel columns up the center of these towers, and therefore a complete collapse is really very difficult to explain, in that the core columns, these 47 interconnected core columns, were leveled in the collapse of the buildings. I mean, none of the explanations accounts for that.
Joe, I'd like to thank Neil from Greenlawn, New York, who's contributed, made a $100 pledge to WPKN. He'll be getting the From JFK to 9/11 package. And we urge your callers in the last few minutes of this program to call in 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. For a pledge of $100, you'll get this fabulous From JFK to 9/11 premium package. $100 gets you three CD collection of five History Counts programs on the assassinations of the Kennedy brothers, King, two specials with the two leading scholars on the 9/11, Professor Jones and Professor Griffin. You'll get the book, The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, which is the seminal work which started the independent investigation of 9/11, and you get two audio mixes by our general manager, Peter Beauchamp, Back to Dallas 63 and Back to 9/11. So please join Neil, Norman, Joe, Laura, and the others who contributed this morning to help keep us on the air by calling 203-384-9756. Ask for the From JFK to 9/11 premium for $100. That's 203-384-9756. And just quickly, Gus, Stephen Jones' hypothesis in 2006 was that there was a thermite incendiary used in the demolition of the World Trade Center's Twin Towers and Building 7. And that has since essentially been confirmed by in a scientific report published in Open Chemical Physics Journal. An international team of scientists, which included Professor Jones, found red chips which were in fact nanothermite, a state-of-the-art, highly refined incendiary, which also has explosive potential. They found it in four separate samples of World Trade Center dust. You can read that entire report if you just go to our website, incontextreport.com. There's a link to the Open Chemical Physics Journal. You can read the report, and you can see really the evidence is there. It was nanothermite, which was developed in U.S. labs in the 1990s, an extremely powerful incendiary.
Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, right?
That's right.
He came up with that hypothesis just by looking at the evidence, and then he actually found it. So
they found the physical evidence of unreacted nanothermite, partially reacted thermite, and the evidence of a completed thermitic reaction.
And moving quickly here, just to finish out the show strong, we have the last three clips. They were news clips from the days of 9/11, and this one is reports of explosives in the basement.
The tunnel in the blue.
The subway tunnel?
Yeah.
Yes, I was right there. I was down in the basement. Came down. All of a sudden, the elevator blew up. Smoke. I dragged the guy out. His skin was hanging off. And I dragged him out, and I helped him out to the ambulance.
And when I got up to the concourse level, it was just like, you know, like gunfire, and then just three big explosions.
and even the turnstile was burnt and was sticking up, and they just told us to run.
I heard the first explosion, and the elevator blew up.
And as we were coming out, we passed the lobby. There was no lobby. So I believe the bomb hit the lobby first.
Okay, we're getting information from us this morning, a special from 6 to 9 from JFK to 9/11 right here on WPKN 89.5, Bridgeport, Connecticut, streaming live at WPKN.org. We'd like to thank Bill from Orange, Connecticut, for joining Neil and Norman and Joe and all the other callers who have supported us with a $100 pledge for the wonderful premium package from JFK to 9/11 by calling 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. Just ask one of our phone volunteers for the from JFK to 9/11 premium package for $100 pledge, and they will be happy to send it to you. That's 203-384-9756. Thank you, listeners who've called in. Thank you for everybody who listens and supports WPKN. You won't hear this information on this anniversary of 9/11. The information that we brought you today, you will not hear on another radio station. You're not going to hear it on your TV network news. We hear it here on WPKN 89.5 FM because of your support. We're non-commercial. So thank you, listeners, for your generosity. The number again is 203-384-9756.
So we have two last clips here. If we finish out the show with the last 2 minutes, this one is fire department witnesses.
We started running floor by floor. It started popping out.
It was like, as if they had detonated.
Yeah,
they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
All the way down.
So, okay. All the way down. Detonators, floor by floor. Boom, 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 boom. Those are the guys that were on the scene.
Anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not there anymore.
There you have it. Those are the words on the day of 9/11. And I don't bring this stuff up so that I can try to, you know, tug at your heartstrings. I'm just trying to help you remember what you saw on that day, because we talked about earlier in the show people being trained to accept what they're told, not what they see, not what they hear. You have to remember what you saw, remember what you heard, and dissect what you see. Trust your eyes, trust your ears, and trust your common sense.
That's right. We're looking at the science today. We haven't gotten to who did it. We don't know who did it. But the first thing...
We want a new investigation.
We want a new investigation. And with these independent researchers that you've heard today, and those whose interviews you can hear in their entirety in our premium package, they are bringing out serious questions which have really call into doubt the government's official explanation. Of course, the government has been resisting efforts to do a new investigation. But you can hear their complete interviews by calling in to 203-384-9756, pledging for $100. You'll get the from JFK to 9/11 premium package, and it includes 5 History Counts programs. 2 we've played excerpts from on why indeed did the World Trade Center collapse, the physics collapse, and also 9/11 unanswered questions with Professor Griffin. And we also are including Professor Griffin's seminal work, The New Pearl Harbor. 2004 it came out, and it started this whole independent movement to investigate 9/11. The package includes 3 interviews. One on the assassination of President Kennedy and the CIA connection, the execution of Martin Luther King. Guess what? James Earl Ray didn't do it. And then Who Killed Bobby Kennedy, an interview which shows that Sirhan Sirhan could not have killed Bobby Kennedy, that he was killed by a yet unknown gunman who was standing behind him. It includes 2 Peter Beauchamp audio mixes, all of that for a pledge of $100. So we ask you to join Neil and Norman and Joe and Bill and Laura and the others who've called today by ringing up 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. And Bonnie and Colette and Shell are back there. They volunteered. They gave up their Saturday mornings to come in to answer the phone. So please give them a ring, 203-384-9756. Tell them you want the premium from JFK to 9/11 for $100, and it helps keep WPK on the air. That number again is 203-384-9756. 7756.
You know, it doesn't look like there's anybody lining up to take over for us. So what do you think about doing another 3 hours, Ken?
Why not? well, we have.
Should we just play some outro music? I don't see anybody here.
Well, why don't we? We're here at WPKM, folks, down in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and this really is a volunteer operation. And our relief at 9 o'clock is not showed up, but I'm kind of have mixed feelings about it because while I'm retired, I don't mind playing some more information for the folks out there until our relief shows up because I'm really anxious to get out as much information as we can. So until somebody shows up, should we
play a premium clip or why play some music?
Well, can we play another premium clip? How about doing the one you want to do Honey Hanjour?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because this is about the Pentagon. David Ray Griffin is going to be talk about the attack on the Pentagon.
Okay, can you talk about the maneuver that the aircraft had to take in order to impact the Pentagon at that point?
Well, and this is a decisive thing. As people can debate back and forth about how much debris there was there and whether the hole is commensurate with the size of a 757, the kind of damage it would cause, and so on. But there's one thing everybody in the 9/11 truth movement agrees on, and that is that whatever hit the Pentagon, it was not Flight 77 under the control of Honey Hanjour, because this flight, according to all reports, came in over the Pentagon and could have crashed right into the roof and, could have crashed right into the part of the Pentagon where Rumsfeld and all the top brass were. And one would think a priori that if you had Al-Qaeda terrorists who hated the American military and wanted to get revenge, that's what they would have done. But instead, the plane takes an amazing 333-degree downward spiral in which it descends about 8,000 feet in under 4 minutes, and then comes in at virtually ground level and slams in there. And we have, in the 9/11 movement, we have an organization called Pilots for 9/11 Truth. And some of the pilots are former airline pilots, and like Russ Wittenberg, who was a military pilot in Vietnam and then flew the big birds, as they call them, for 35 years, he says, "I don't think, with all my years of experience, I could have done that in a 757. I know Honey Hanjour couldn't, because Honey Hanjour was known by everybody to be a horrible pilot. Just a couple months before 9/11, he was trying to take training in a little single-engine plane, and the trainer wouldn't go up with him a second time. He said, you're too dangerous." And yet this guy was supposed to have jumped in the cockpit of this 757, which he had never been in before. He had certainly never flown any big airplane before, and flown it back to Washington, found the Pentagon, without any help from any radar. But, popular mechanics says, "Oh, well, that's no problem. All he had to do is punch in the coordinates on the GPS, and that would take him right to the Pentagon." And then the flight was only flown manually the last 8 minutes, and that's where they drop it. Well, of course, it was the last 8 minutes in which the impossible was done. We have another pilot, Ralph Olmholt, who says, the idea that Honey Hanjour flew that trajectory is just too absurd to even discuss.
What are some of the other options, if it wasn't a Boeing 757, that it was something remotely guided, perhaps?
Yeah, even people who believe it was a 757 say that the only way it could have happened was if it were technologically controlled. There is the capacity. There's been this for some time of technological override. So,
So it wouldn't necessarily have to be a missile. It could be a passenger plane under remote control.
Yeah, there are various theories, all the way from a 757 or some other airliner, all the way down to a missile, and in between you have various other theories. I myself, I find it interesting, but I don't really get into that because there's no need to, because just by knowing that Honey Hanjour could not have flown a 757 into the Pentagon in that trajectory. Right there, we know
we'll
the official story is false.
Hi, this is Ken McDermott. I'm here with Gus Canavero. If you just joined us, this is a special three-hour program from JFK to 9/11. We're in WPKN's premium fundraising mode here. And the program, we're offering a premium for $100, which includes the interview, the entire interview you just heard, which is Professor David Ray Griffin, Unanswered Question. It's one of five History Counts programs which included the premium. There's another one on 9/11 with Professor Stephen Jones, the physicist who did the original work on the science behind the collapse of the World Trade Center. And you can hear in his interview how he came to his conclusion that the evidence compels one to believe that the World Trade Center was brought down in a controlled demolition. In addition to those two programs on 9/11, we also have three interesting programs on assassinations, the CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy with Joan Mellon, the execution of Martin Luther King with the King family attorney William Pepper, and Who Killed Bobby Kennedy with the filmmaker and author Shane O'Sullivan. And you'll learn in those three programs about the extensive evidence which has come out in recent years indicating the CIA's involvement in the assassination of President Kennedy as believed by Jim Garrison. And in the execution of Martin Luther King, you're going to learn that, in fact, James Earl Ray did not shoot Martin Luther King. He was shot by a sniper who was outside the bar and grill where James Earl Ray supposedly did the shooting. And this was established in a jury trial in 1999 in Tennessee that you probably never heard about. But our guest, author William Pepper, was the attorney for the King family in that civil litigation, which took a jury less than 1 hour to conclude that James Earl Ray did not do it, and the jury determined that government officials played a role in the assassination of Martin Luther King. So we'll also hear, you can also get in this premium package, the book The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, which was the seminal work which started off this huge 9/11 independent investigation movement to find out what really happened to the World Trade Center, what really happened in the Pentagon. That book is included in the premium. Plus, we're putting in two Peter Beauchamp audio mixes, Back to Dallas 1963, Back to 9/11, in which Peter cleverly mixes music with newscasts, with interviews to create a sense of what it was like during those historic events. That entire package is available to you from JFK to 9/11 for a pledge to WPKN of $100, and you can get it simply by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. And I have someone to thank here. Oh, Bob from Bethany. Thank you very much, Bob, for calling in and pledging to support WPKN. Bob will be getting our special premium from JFK to 9/11, which accompanies this fundraising special that Gus Canavero and I, my name is Ken McDermott Rowe, we've put together today on the anniversary of 9/11. The number to call again is 203-384-9756. 203-384-9756. It is the ninth anniversary of the terror attack on 9/11, and I believe if you turn the dial of your radio station to all the radio stations anywhere on the dial, if you go home with your cable TV and you go from station to station, you are not going to hear the critical information that we are broadcasting this morning and that is available in full in the pledge material which we're offering when you call that number, 203-384-9756. So please call, make a pledge, ask for the from JFK to 9/11 premium for $100, and we'll send it along to you. And you'll have the knowledge not that you're just getting this valuable premium, but you're helping to keep WPKN on the air. You're helping us to enabling us to keep bringing this independent information, not censored. And we'd like to also to thank Bill from Milford for his generous pledge. He'll be getting the From JFK to 9/11 premium package for $100. Thank you very much,
Bill.
Thank
you very much, listeners.
So please call 203-384-9756. And what are your thoughts, Gus?
I just want to add quickly, go to incontextreport.com. That's our website for this particular show. part of the public affairs program here at WPKN, which you are supporting through your donations to these premiums. And, you know, a lot of this information, all the information we're bringing, is not our investigative reporting. It's our compiling, doing the work to bring it to you, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. And we feel that it's really important, you know, as private citizens, we're out there listening to the radio, watching television, and we're not hearing the things that we need to hear. So we need to go out and seek alternative forms of information. And, you know, today we're talking about 9/11. We're talking about assassinations, overthrows, the CIA, shadow government, and foreknowledge of terror attacks and how they use terror to try to manipulate the public opinion. And I'm dying to play this clip because it goes back to 1993, and it talks about the FBI's foreknowledge of the World Trade Center bombing.
Last winter, the FBI was praised for its speed in cracking the case of the World Trade Center bombing and bringing four suspects to trial. Now, there is some evidence that the FBI may have known of the plot in advance through an informant and might even have stopped the bombing that killed six people. Correspondent Jacqueline Adams has the story.
FBI agents might have been able to prevent last February's deadly explosion at New York's World Trade Center. They discussed secretly substituting harmless powder for the explosives, but they didn't, according to the FBI's own informant, Imad Salem. Unbeknownst to the FBI at the time, Salem recorded many of his conversations with his handlers.
I'm holding 903 pages of draft transcripts.
William Kunstler represents Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and several others charged with conspiring to blow up a series of New York City landmarks 4 months after the World Trade Center bombing. That case has not yet gone to trial. Kunstler confirmed newspaper reports of the Salem transcripts. In one, Salem complains to an FBI agent, "Since the bomb went off, I feel terrible. I feel bad. I feel here is people who don't listen." The agent replies, "Hey, I mean, it wasn't like you didn't try and I didn't try. You can't force people to do the right thing."
There is material in here to show gross governmental misconduct.
Today, attorneys for the defendants in the ongoing World Trade Center bombing case formally asked for the transcripts of Salem's tapes.
Quite frankly, beyond me, why now, the fourth week into the trial, we still don't have these materials.
Prosecutors have refused to comment publicly, but legal experts say the defense may have no right to those transcripts.
It's not a defense to a crime to say, if only the government had stopped me, I wouldn't have done it. So this isn't material that ordinarily the defense would be entitled to.
In court today, a witness from the Ford Motor Company linked debris recovered from the explosion site to a Ford van where defendant Mohammed Salamat was arrested less than a week after the bombing. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, New York.
There you have it. That is from 1993, the World Trade Center bombing, and that was a VHS recording transcribed or transferred to YouTube, so the audio is a little bit crummy. But, you know, it works to bring you the information, things that you probably might even remember, but it just slips out down the memory hole because there are no official investigations that want to know, why didn't the FBI stop them?
That's right. We wonder, why? You know, these basic questions that should be asked. And I say, if you're watching NCI or you're watching Bones on TV and you are looking into the destruction of the World Trade Center on 9/11 or the Pentagon attack, I don't think the government's explanation would make it past the first commercial.
It's not good enough.
It's so lame, the idea that a fire could bring down 210-story buildings. That in the history of the world, given that in the history of the world, no steel-framed building has ever suffered a complete collapse due to a fire. And then they'd have you believe that in this day, three buildings suffered a complete collapse. The way they went into a symmetrical free fall, and all the material in the building was pulverized to dust. It's beyond belief, and that was accepted, of course, by the mainstream media. But why didn't they investigate it? The normal fire regulations say that site should have been restricted. That it was a crime.
Well, it was
scene.
Restricted, all right.
Well, the crime scene should have been protected, and the material there should have been kept intact, so that investigators went through carefully. carefully, and they would take, they'd make pages and pages of notes, and they'd take numerous, they'd take photos of everything that was interesting. But that didn't happen. And none of that investigation. They were supposed
Everything was so suppressed from the investigations of 9/11 on the scenes of the crime.
What did they do with the evidence? Hundreds of trucks.
Exactly. And that stuff was shipped to China. The steel was shipped to China and used to make the USS New York, which was a battleship that they were going to take to war, because 9/11 was an event that got us into war, and they used the evidence from the scene of the crime to create an engine of war.
So one of the great historical ironies, and of course, one of the fire regulations say that in a case such as this, one of the basic things you do is you look for evidence of an explosive. And now, you would do this in a very minor incident where you suspected explosives.
Anytime a house gets burned down, they look for arson.
Here you have almost 3,000 innocent people are killed, and they never look for explosives. It's incredible. The representative of the government say, no, we never look for explosives. And this is considered the routine. It is the proper behavior. According to fire department regulations, you look for evidence of explosives. Independent experts, the people we're bringing you today, like Stephen Jones, like David Ray Griffin, they looked. They did the research that our government was supposed to do.
And they're not invested in anything.
They are totally. They are independent people.
They're not like Michael Chertoff and the body scanner company.
Or Philip Zelikow, the National Security Advisor who ran the 9/11 Commission. These people are really independent, and they've come up with information we'd like to share with you, and that's why we want you to call and get this 9/11 from JFK to 9/11 premium package by making a $100 pledge. You'll get the entire interview with Professor Stephen Jones explaining the controlled demolition evidence. You'll get the entire interview with Professor David Ray Griffin, 9/11 Unanswered Questions, an hour where he goes into many aspects of 9/11, including the attack on the Pentagon, the failure of the Air Force to respond to the hijacking of the planes. You'll get three more programs on the assassinations of President Kennedy, and the assassination of Martin Luther King, and you will learn things that will amaze you, and you'll scratch your head and say, why didn't I hear this on CNN? And you'll also get the book The New Pearl Harbor, which was written by David Ray Griffin, our guest, the seminal work which launched this whole independent investigation of 9/11. And you get that all by calling one of our phone volunteers who can be reached at 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. Please pledge $100. Ask them for the From JFK to 9/11 premium, and join Neil and Norman and Joe and the other Joe and Bob and Bill and another Bill and the other listeners who called us this morning during this special program From JFK to 9/11, join them, please, in supporting WPKN. Help us to keep us on the air at WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut, streaming live every day at WPKN.org, so you can listen to us whether you're in the broadcast area or far away. And we can help us continue to present this information that you're not going to hear elsewhere on the dial.
Vote for public affairs with your donations. All right, I think we're going to play one more clip from the premium as we continue to whet your appetite. And get
is this to, David Ray Griffin?
This is going to be David Ray Griffin talking about the stand-down orders for the Air Force, the stand-down orders to get up into the air and intercept the planes, because we knew that they were hijacked and we had enough time to stop them before they impacted any buildings.
Do you think that there may have been a stand-down order in effect on 9/11? That is
absolutely. In fact, we have Norman Mineta inadvertently told about an incident that sounds like Cheney having confirmed a stand-down order with regard to the Pentagon. Mineta says that he went down to the underground bunker under the White House, got there at 9:20, Cheney was already there, and about 5 minutes after Mineta got there, so about 9:25, this young man would come in the room and say that flight is now 50 miles out, now it's 30 miles out, now it's 10 miles out, do the orders still stand? Cheney whipped his head around and said, of course the orders still stand, have you heard anything differently? Well, Mineta said he assumed that was a stand-down order, a shoot-down order. But of course, whatever it was not shot down. And why would the young man questioned whether the order still stand if it was the expected order, that is, shoot down anything that comes close to the, you know, over this forbidden space, this forbidden triangle over Washington, D.C. So the 9/11 Commission has tried mightily to make that story disappear. They did not put Mineta's testimony in the 9/11 Commission report, even though it was given in open testimony to the Commission, and anybody can listen to it on YouTube. They took that out even of the archival edition of the 9/11 Commission of that session. The segment from Mineta is removed. They told other stories. They changed the time. They said Cheney didn't even get down to the bunker until almost 10 o'clock, perhaps 9:58. So they told about a 45-minute lie. So they were very concerned to block out, obliterate that story, because it did suggest Mineta had seen, had heard confirmation of stand-down orders.
Do you think some of the problems with the reports may have had to do with the fact that Philip Zelikow was the director of the 9/11 Commission?
I don't know why anyone would think that, just because he was essentially a member of the White House, had co-authored a book with Condoleezza Rice while the Republicans were out of office. He and she had been on the National Security Council with the first President Bush. And then she brought him in to author the National Security Strategy of the United States in 2002, which was this extremely bellicose document, which changed our doctrine of war, which said that we could now go to war against any country, even though that country wasn't threatening us. If we thought sometime in the future it might threaten us, we could go to war against it. So he used 9/11 as a pretext for changing that doctrine. And then in 2003, he's brought in to be the one to oversee the 9/11 Commission, which, among other things, should have been asking, was the White House somehow responsible, whether through incompetence or complicity, for the attacks of 9/11 succeeding? So it was just absolutely outrageous that Philip Zelikow was in charge. And, you know, people call it the Kane Commission and think that Kane and Hamilton, the co-chairs, were in charge. No, Zelikow, as the executive director, was in charge. He organized the committees that decided what things to investigate and what things not, and then he oversaw the writing of the 9/11 Commission report. Hamilton had no idea what the 9/11 Commission report said on some crucial things. So he clearly was not in charge of overseeing the final version of it. Zelikow was.
It's really amazing, this stuff. If you just joined us, you're listening to From JFK to 9/11 on WPKN 89.5 FM, streaming live at WPKN.org. My name is Ken McDermott Rowe. I'm here with Gus Condovero. We've been here 6-6 this morning, and we're going over on the anniversary of 9/11. We're trying to present to you important information from independent researchers on 9/11 who believe that the government's account of the events is wrong, and they want a new investigation. And this is very important information you're not going to get on other radio stations. You're not going to hear it on the network TV. We're bring it to you. We're able to do so because you support us. You listeners support WPKN. And we ask you to do so today by calling 203-384-9756. And we have an excellent premium package that we're offering today. It consists of the new Pearl Harbor, the book that started it, this independent investigation of 9/11 6 years ago, written by the man you just heard, our guest on History Counts, Professor David Ray Griffin. We also have the entire interview with Professor Stephen Jones, the physicist who did the groundbreaking work on the science behind the collapse of the Twin Towers and Building Number 7. You can get his entire interview in that package, and you can hear why he came to the conclusion that the scientific data compelled him to believe that the World Trade Center's Twin Towers and Building 7 were brought down in a controlled demolition using thermite. We also have in our premium package three interviews, industry count shows that we did on assassinations, one on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy with Joan Mellon, where she discusses the CIA connections to the Kennedy assassination based upon many new documents which came out during the Clinton administration, which proved that Jim Garrison was right, that the CIA was involved in the Kennedy assassination, and that Lee Harvey Oswald was, in fact, a patsy. We also have the Robert Kennedy, a show on the Bobby Kennedy assassination with Shane O'Sullivan, the filmmaker and author, who shows that Sirhan Sirhan did not shoot the fatal shots that killed Bobby Kennedy. He was shot from an as-yet-unknown gunman who stood behind him. And we also have a program on the assassination of Martin Luther King with William Pepper, attorney for the King family, who brought a legal action on their behalf, a wrongful death action, in 1999 in Tennessee against a man named Lloyd Jowers and unnamed co-conspirators. And less than one hour, this jury came back after listening to 70 witnesses and decided that Martin Luther King was not killed by James Earl Ray, as maintained by the government. He was killed by Lloyd Jowers, acting in conjunction with a host of other conspirators, including, the jury said, the government officials. And the testimony showed that the gunman was not James, but that a man in a bushes who was shooting from just outside the Bar and Grill at Martin Luther King as he stood on the balcony, that this man got into a Memphis Police Department car. The testimony also shows, and you'll hear this in the Pepper interview, a good description of the military intelligence soldiers who were stationed in pairs on rooftops, guns trained on Martin Luther King as the backup killer. You'll hear Pepper talk about his witness, a man named Warren, a pseudonym that he took to protect himself. Warren described his trip to Memphis and that his understanding was he was there to kill Martin Luther King and Andrew Young. They were the backup killers, and they, as it turned out, they weren't used. You'll hear all of this in the complete interviews, which are included in this package. And so please call our number, 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. Ask them for the $100 premium package from JFK to 9/11. You'll get the five shows. You'll get the book by Professor Griffin, and you'll get two audio mixes by our general manager, Peter Beauchamp, who uses music and newscasts and interviews to recreate the atmospheres of 9/11 and the day that Kennedy was shot in 1963 in Dallas. The number again is 203-384-9756. That's our pledge line. And we have a whole group of volunteers who've given up their Saturday mornings to come in here. They volunteer just like everybody else in this, all the programmers in the station, Gus Candavero and me. We both volunteer. We only have one paid employee in the station. That's it. We're operating with volunteers because we believe that you have the right to know, and we don't want to be dependent on commercial stations that often give us less than the full truth. They don't give you what you need to know. And, I thank you very much, Bonnie. One of our phone volunteers has just told me we have to have the opportunity to thank Edward from Guilford. And thank you very much for that $100 pledge for the premium from JFK to 9/11. And we also have, let's see, this is Pat? Okay. All right. And she has been listening?
Since 7 a.m.
What a trooper. She is a trooper. Thank you so much, Pat.
I couldn't say thank you enough.
So thank you very much for terrific. Your contribution, Pat. It's in Bridgeport.
Thank you for supporting public affairs here on PKN. And just a programming update. We will be with you until 10 a.m. And then we will have some music for the 10 o'clock hour.
And who is coming on at 10? Do we know?
Not sure on that.
Okay. All right. Well, we are delighted to be with you.
I think we're scouring the halls.
We are delighted to be. We've been here since 6 a.m., Gus Candavero and I. My name's Ken McDermott Rowe. We host a series called In Context, which is a live call-in show, public affairs call-in show that's heard on the first Sunday of the month at 10 p.m. and on the first Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. just before Chris Teske's show, and we were given the opportunity to be here on 9/11. It was so important to us to be able to broadcast to you on the 9th anniversary of 9/11 to bring to you information you were not going to get, and information every American should have about the truth about what happened in 9/11, about the tremendous independent investigative effort undertaken by now thousands of engineers. And you can go on the web and you can find out about these people. But what we've tried to do is digest the information for you. We've brought the leading experts in, particularly Stephen Jones and David Ray Griffin, in to be interviewed in our, at WPKN, focused on the on the key facts, distilled it for you, put it together so you can try to educate yourself about what happened in 9/11. And we're doing this despite the fact that the mass media, the corporate media, has blocked out this information. You're not going to hear these people on the corporate radio or on the corporate or on the cable TV networks. So we're bringing it to you, and we ask you to please help support the station. Get this wonderful premium for $100 by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. And we appreciate your support. Please join Bill and Neil and Bob and Norman and Joe and the other Joe and all these people who are calling this morning on the Saturday morning to contribute $100 to get this wonderful premium, and most importantly, to keep PKN on the air so that we can continue to broadcast from WPKN 89.5 FM Bridgeport, Connecticut, and continue to stream at WPKN.org and bring you this important information that's vital for you to know. If you're to be a free person in a democracy, you've got to know what's going on. Democracy depends on the consent of the governed. And unless you're told the truth about historical events and about contemporary events, well, then there is no informed consent and there is no democracy. So that's what we're here fighting for. And thank you very much for your support by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. We have a bunch of volunteers who've given up their Saturdays, and they'd be delighted to answer the phone and take your pledge.
So I wanted to go over a couple of books and movies that people can look up on the topics of 9/11 and related topics of terror, the erosion of personal freedom and liberty, how government, CIA, are able to manipulate the flow of information. And some of the great authors out there, we've been talking all morning about David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, but he's written other follow-ups to that book. That's one of his best, but the more technical book is Debunking 9/11 Debunking. All right, so he's countering the debunking of 9/11 quote-unquote conspiracy theories. And he makes awesome points in that book where he says, you know, we're not the ones with the conspiracy theory. They are. they're the ones with the crazy theory. We're going off of what we've seen and heard. And they came up with this ridiculous idea of the building collapsing because of fire damage. That's the crazy theory, not ours. And actually, he uses the phrase alternative theories, where the government describes anything other than the official theory as an alternative theory. And, you know, the one of and the implosion of the building using demolition charges is the one that actually makes sense, not the fire damage. The fire damage makes no sense at all. Webster Griffin Tarpley wrote a great book called 9/11 Synthetic Terror. And he talks about how most terror in the world is created. And we talked about the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center building, where the FBI had the opportunity to change out the demolition charges for fake bombs. And they had somebody who was an insider who had access to the charges and could have done it, and afterward spoke to his handler saying how he felt so guilty that he didn't do it and how he didn't get the authority from the FBI to go ahead and do it. The FBI actually wanted the bomb to go off. Why is that? The FBI was never investigated. They were never put on the stand and deposed and said, why did you allow this to happen? No one was ever reprimanded for this. It just happened, and then that's it.
It's absolutely incredible. The 9/11 Commission, which was presented to us as the complete, the exhaustive study of it, what did they look at? Did they look at Professor Jones' controlled demolition theory? No. Did they check to see whether there had been examination, arson for examination, to see any chemical traces of explosives? No. They didn't do that at all.
No. And they laugh at people who say that could have been true, or when they're actually confronted in public, like at the press conferences where they were actually presenting their reasoning for what they came down with, they were confronted and said, "Well, what about the evidence of the charges, or you knew that some of these people were involved in terror plots beforehand?" And they would say, "Oh, we're not familiar with that evidence." We're not familiar with. We haven't seen that report. What are you talking about? You haven't seen that report. It's out there.
Well, how
if you've
about
done
the,
any investigation at all, you should have seen the report.
Oh, wait. Bonnie just gave me I'd like to thank Garo from Bridgeport for his $100 pledge.
Tremendous.
He'll be receiving from JFK to 9/11 our premium that includes 5 History Counts programs, including the entire interviews with Stephen Jones and David Ray Griffin on 9/11, plus the interviews, the programs we did on the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Professor Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, which started off this whole thing. So thank you very much, Garo, for calling
you.
In. And we ask you, listeners, please join Garo and the many other listeners who've called us today to support WPKN, the kind of programming we do, by calling 203-384-9756. We have plenty of volunteers who are will help you with the premium and with your taking your information. It's 203-384-9756. Just ask them for the premium from JFK to 9/11. It's $100, and it helps support the station. And if you just joined us this morning, you're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM, Bridgeport, Connecticut, streaming live at WPKN.org. My name is Ken McDermott Rowe. I'm here with Gus Canavera with a host of In Context, which is normally heard on the first Wednesday at 6:30, the first Sunday at 10, but at 10 in the evening. But we had this opportunity today to come in on the 9th anniversary of 9/11 and do this special on the assassinations and on 9/11. And I think, Gus, we see a theme there. And again, the number again is 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. Please give us a call and make a pledge. That there's a theme here. And that's why we do it from JFK to 9/11, because what we're seeing is a steady erosion of popular sovereignty in America. And this is not a left issue. It's not a right issue. We played earlier a clip from President Dwight D. Eisenhower on the dangers of the military-industrial complex. This concern that our government is slowly become subservient to a corporate, large corporate groups who operate in secret, who subvert our democratic processes. This isn't a monopoly of the left or the right. It's not a partisan issue. And the desire to have the truth come out about 9/11 or about the assassination of Martin Luther King or Jack Kennedy or Bobby Kennedy, that's not a left or right issue. It's about truth. No. It's about self-government. And that's what we're trying to promote by bringing the information to you. So we ask you to support us, please, by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756, and make a pledge, and you'll get this wonderful premium from JFK to 9/11 sent your way.
Some of the films that I can name on the topic. Oh, the other last book was The Road to 9/11 by Peter Dale Scott. Have you interviewed him?
Yes, we did a program with him, and he's wonderful. He articulated the concept of the deep state, and very useful, because we were talking earlier about President Eisenhower, about how our elected leaders feel often subverted by the CIA. And I think Eisenhower was very keenly aware of that, and so was Truman. He was scared when the CIA was created in the late 40s. He saw that the secret group would lose control, and we talked about how the CIA was created in Wall Street. at the end of World War II by Alan Dulles and a bunch of lawyers at the request of James Forrestal, the first Secretary of Defense, who himself came from Wall Street. So it wasn't drafted by America's elected representatives. And when they created what they call the Special Operations Organization, which is actually carrying out these covert operations, often illegal, often involving things like assassinations and drug runnings, that was created without even the knowledge of Congress.
And that's the real cause of terror. You know, when you read books like Confessions of an Economic Hitman, he talks about his personal relationships with Omar Torrijos and Jaime Roldos of Ecuador. Or is it Ecuador? Yeah, Ecuador. And Torrijos of Panama, where, you know, all Panama wanted to do was just reclaim their own land. They just wanted to renegotiate the Panama Canal Treaty and say that we need to benefit off of having this on our land. We have to be able to take the money that we make off of this thing and benefit our poor. We have ghettos where people live and they don't have access to clean water or sanitation. We need to be able to educate our poor people if we're going to have any upward mobility in the world. And Ecuador, they wanted to nationalize their oil. And what happened? Both of those leaders blown up in airplanes.
And that's what we are trying to show, unfortunately, is that assassination is a common element. It's all too common element in political history. And if we expose the truth about assassinations a murder is murder, whether it's done by somebody acting under the color of of the government or not. It's murder, and it's wrong. And we believe in the rule of law, and I think all Americans do. And I think we need to bring these elements under control. That's why we're trying to focus first on 9/11, which is really a keystone in this whole global war and this whole assault upon our personal liberties, to bring out the truth about it and give an opportunity for these experts who've been volunteering so much time to cover the truth about it, give them an opportunity to bring forth their ideas, to get them conveyed to you. And that's why we're offering this premium with the complete interviews with Professor Jones and Professor Griffin, the interviews on the assassinations, the book, The New Pearl Harbor, the audio mixes from Peter Beauchamp, which sort of set the stage. All of this is available if you call 203-384-9756 for a $100 pledge. Ask for from the premium for From JFK to 9/11, 203-384-9756. I think we may have time for one more clip before we have to go from David Ray Griffin on the failure of the United States Air Force to intercept the hijacked planes on 9/11. I think that's track number 9. Could we bring that one up, guys?
Sure.
And this is Professor David Ray Griffin, the author of The New Pearl Harbor. You get this entire interview. It's an hour-long special we did at History Counts with the Professor Griffin. And you'll also get his book, The New Pearl Harbor, as part of the premium.
Another area you spent a lot of time researching has to do with the failure of the United States Air Force to intercept the planes before they hit their targets. You said in The New Pearl Harbor, quote, "In light of the standard procedures for dealing with hijacked airplanes, not one of these planes should have reached its target, let alone all three of them," end quote. Could you talk about that aspect of the case?
Well, yes, and then because of that, the official story has changed.
Oh, if I could just ask you first, Professor, if you could explain what is the appropriate procedure when an emergency exists on an airplane?
Yeah, you have the standard danger signals. The first one is if the plane loses radio contact, it's called going NORDO, and the controller can't get it back quickly. Then the next danger signal is if the transponder goes off, and then the worst thing is if the plane goes off course and you can't get it quickly back on course, which of course you can't do if you lost radio contact. Well, that happened. That happened with Flight 11. That happened with the other flights.
And under the regs, when an emergency situation like that happens, what is the controller supposed to do?
Well, as soon as he's established that there is a real problem, and this is what they call an in-flight emergency, and this demands a faster response even than a hijacking. Certainly it did in those days, because if a plane has gone off course, it can cause all sorts of chaos in the air. So he immediately pushes a button. They have a hot button that gets them connected to the military within a second or two.
Would this be NORAD?
In this case, it would be NEADS, which is the Northeast Sector of NORAD.
I see. Well, and then what is this part of NORAD supposed to do when it gets the emergency notification?
They call the nearest base that has fighters on alert and tells them to scramble. And that takes about 5 seconds. And then they blow the siren, and you've got these pilots that are on 24-hour alert. They're very close to the planes, and they run, hop in the planes. Normally, you know, there were statements before 9/11 saying we can go from scramble order to 29,000 feet in 2.5 minutes. They do tests. They do training exercises to knock seconds off these. Different companies compete with each other in these. And, you know, if you don't make it up for until 5 minutes, that's very embarrassing.
So once you've got the interceptor, they've located the plane that went off course or lost radio contact, what are they supposed to do?
Well, they catch up to the plane, which they can do very quickly because the F-15s can go 1,800 miles an hour. The F-16s can go 1,500 miles an hour. And then they would normally get in front of the plane and wag their wings side by side, which means follow me. If the plane refuses, then they may fire a signal, a warning shot across the bow. And if that doesn't happen, then they're authorized to shoot down.
And does that order have to come from the president, or can that come from a lower level?
It can come from a lower level. So that's one of the mystifying things has been told, that you know, this can only come from the president, and he was in the school in Sarasota, so they couldn't do it. Well, that's all nonsense, because in the very documents that people cite to show that, or that that had to go to Don Rumsfeld personally, and they said they couldn't find Rumsfeld that morning either, which was also a lie. The document says, except in cases of emergencies, and then it says, in emergencies, anyone in the chain of command can issue the order. And I've been told by a fellow who used to work at the FAA Boston Center as a controller that pilots are actually authorized to use their own discretion. If there's a plane that is getting ready to go into an urban area and looks like it's going to crash into a building, they're authorized to shoot it down. But in any case, that day, none of that happened because they didn't do any
interception. It's academic. They weren't intercepted. But how many minutes should it take, is supposed to take place?
Normally about 10 minutes. We have statements before 9/11 that's warned pilots that if you go off course and don't obey, that you're going to find a couple jets on your tail within 10 minutes. So we can say certainly within 15 minutes, they should have been intercepted.
And how often is this procedure done?
Scrambling is very common. Happens roughly 100 times a year, and that was standard for the decade prior to 9/11.
And we are back. And
if you just joined us, you're listening to From JFK to 9/11, a special program that Gus Condivero and me, I'm Ken McDermott Rowe, are bringing to you as part of our WPKN Pledge Week drive. And we really appreciate it if you could give us a call at 203-384-9756. You just were listening to Professor David Ray Griffin, and as part of the Pledge Premium Package from JFK to 9/11, you have the entire hour-long interview, one-on-one interview that I did with Professor Griffin. And he not only get his interview, but you'll get his book, The New Pearl Harbor, the seminal book which started off this whole huge independent investigation into 9/11. It's a huge movement, but you may not have heard about it because it's been basically blacked out by the corporate media. You don't hear about it on TV, and you don't hear it on any other radio station. But you hear about this movement on WPKN for a simple reason, because we are supported by you, listeners, not by corporate sponsors. We don't have to go on bended knee to them to get commercial advertising. We depend only on you and your generosity. So please call 203-384-9756, and for a pledge of $100, you'll not just get Professor Griffin's hour-long interview on 9/11 and his book, The New Pearl Harbor. You'll get Professor Jones' complete interview, in which he outlines the reasons why he believes that the World Trade Center was destroyed in a controlled demolition using thermite. And this discovery, which he discusses, has later been proven to be correct with a research discovery of super thermite, nanothermite, in four separate samples of World Trade Center dust. So it turns out Professor Jones's thesis, as outlined in the interview in our package, is been substantiated. We also have interviews with on the CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy, on the assassination of Martin Luther King. Guess what? James Earl Ray did not do it. We also have a program on who killed Bobby Kennedy. And believe it or not, it wasn't Sirhan Sirhan. And this fascinating information is available in these complete interviews. It's a 3-CD set, 5 History Counts programs. You also get the book, The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin. And you'll get 2 audio mixes by Peter Beauchamp, which include music and speeches and interviews, which kind of create a sense of these historic events that occurred in 9/11 and in 1963 with the assassination of President Kennedy. That's all for a pledge of $100. Just ask for the premium from JFK to 9/11 and call our pledge line 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. We're going to be ending this program in a few minutes, so we'd very much appreciate if you could take this opportunity before we close out to call that pledge line number 203-384-9756. We really appreciate your support. You'll get for $100, you get this fabulous premium with the 5 programs, the audio mixes, the book, the new Pearl Harbor. You get all that stuff, but you also get the knowledge that you are keeping WPKN alive. You are enabling us to convey information that's really important, especially about 9/11, about assassinations, about what's going on, has gone on in our government that tends to undermine our democracy. Information you need to be a good citizen, to be a free person in a democratic country. And we thank you for helping to keep us on the air by calling 203-384-9756. 384-9756. You can turn the dial on the radio station, and you can, on this anniversary of 9/11, you can turn the dial on your TV set, and you are not going to hear the information that we're putting out today, this important information about 9/11, about earlier assassinations. So please give a call. Our volunteers are in the back room. They've in the tally room. They've come in on this Saturday morning. All volunteers giving up their time to take your calls, because they, like Gus and I, believe that it's important for non-commercial stations like WPKN to stay on the air so we can bring you independent news, information, and other sounds that you don't hear in the corporate media. The number again is 203-384-9756. And Gus, you want to talk a little bit about where the money goes.
Yeah, and you can also reach us on our website, incontextreport.com, and you can send us emails on there, download the podcast, and see all the documentation that we post after the shows. There's another film that I saw a couple years ago that really struck me, and it was at the beginning of my 9/11 research when I was coming down this road, seeing more and more evidence that was just shaking me up, because at first I was just like everybody else. We saw it on television. We saw what happened, and I believed what they told me, and I believed that we needed to go to war in Iraq. I believed they had weapons of mass destruction. I wanted to just turn Iraq into a glass parking lot, as they say, just nuke the whole place because they're a bunch of savages who can't learn how to behave like civilized people like we do. You know, it took during that period of my development and education, learning that there were a lot of loose ends there. There were a lot of things that happened that were just completely unexplained. I saw a bunch of films. I saw Loose Change, which helped to educate me on the all the evidence that didn't make sense, that was ignored by the mainstream media. I saw another film called Iraq for Sale. I really recommend this movie. It talks about Halliburton and Bechtel and all of the government cabinet members, the president, vice president, secretary of defense, homeland security, all these people who are so heavily invested in defense contracting. And, in doing some research, I found, and this is even an old report, this is from 2008, and it's from businesspundit.com. And the headline of the article, you can just search this, it'll come right up at the top, The 25 Most Vicious Iraq War Profiteers. And in there are companies like Halliburton and Veritas Capital Fund / DynCorp. DynCorp is one of the most wicked corporations out there. Washington Group International. I'm going to read these names off because you should be boycotting these companies. These are wicked, wicked companies who make their money on the death and destruction of innocent people around the world. Environmental Chemical, they handle the cleanup of all the spent shells, the weapon munitions around the around these battlefields out in the desert. Aegis, it's a private security company, and they handle all of the many bases we build. We don't patrol most of the bases, especially now that the quote-unquote Iraq war military engagement is over. The military operations, combat operations are over, supposedly. They're going to be turned over to private security firms who are going to be making money off of doing the job of what the soldiers were doing. And we're going to leave that place in shambles. And private military guys like Blackwater, now named ZXE, are going to go in there. And their wicked owner, Prince, and that guy is just the devil incarnate.
They keep changing the name of the
company. They keep changing because they're trying to avoid lawsuits. You know, how many times they're sued because their people are over there not obeying any of the code of conduct. They're raping, they're murdering, they're killing, they're getting drunk in the bars, shooting their mouths off. And then when somebody comes over and pops them in the mouth because they're, you know, they're assaulting their wife or something, you know, they just murder them and leave them in the street.
Gus, I want to thank some of the listeners who've called in the past few minutes. Cinnamon Neon called in, a $100 pledge for the from JFK to 9/11. Thank you very much, the folks at this at Cinnamon Neon. We really appreciate your support. And we have a magnificent pledge, too, from Elizabeth Sagaponak. She pledged $1,000.
That's terrific.
She said, quote, "Finally, the truth has come out. Thank God," end quote. So, Elizabeth, thank you very much for that tremendous, generous support. We really appreciate that. That means so much to us. And
your notes will get to the general manager and the program director, and they'll hear what your thoughts are. You're voting with your donations.
That's right. You are, and you're keeping us on the air, and we thank you so much for your generosity.
We do. I would just want to quickly get through this list before we run out of time. International American Products, they handle electrical wiring in hostile war zones. Aranis, that's a oil reserve company. Fluor, Perini, URS Corporations. Obviously, you know, you know about the big names. You know about Blackwater. And there's a lot of other companies that you don't know because they're parent corporations, like General Electric, who owns NBC. General Electric makes bombs. They make missiles. They make airplanes. They make engines for these war machines. And, you know, when you get coverage from NBC, MSNBC, supposedly this bleeding heart liberal left-wing news organization, they're manipulating you. They make you feel like they're supporting the anti-war movement when at the same time they're supporting the war. But you have to listen carefully to the way they deliver the news.
Well, you know, big business is good. We shouldn't get wrong. People understand that we're against business. We just think that public policy ought to be made by people like you and me. It shouldn't be made by companies. They're interested in making profit. Fair enough. That's their legal duty to their shareholders. But they shouldn't be in the business of making public policy, especially behind closed doors.
And we need to be careful who we're electing, because we're electing the businessmen who profit off of these things, just like the wealthy lawmakers increased their riches as U.S. economy sputtered in 2009. And that's from The Hill.
So we thank you so much for voting with your dollars to help keep non-commercial radio on the air by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. And if you just joined us, you're listening to From JFK to 9/11, a special we started at 6 o'clock this morning. And we've been talking about the truth about 9/11, about the independent investigations on 9/11. We've been talking about the assassinations of President Kennedy, about his assassination of his brother, Bobby Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. And we're offering a special premium to go with the show. It's called From JFK to 9/11, which includes full-length interviews with various guests one-on-one on the CIA and the assassination of President Kennedy. That's with Joan Mellon. And when she brings up to date the links connecting the CIA to the assassination of President Kennedy based on evidence which came out during the Clinton administration. We have an interview with the execution on the execution of Martin Luther King with William Pepper, who was the attorney for the King family and handled the 1999 civil lawsuit where a jury found in less than 1 hour that Martin Luther King was not killed by James Earl Ray, but rather by a large conspiracy involving government officials. We have a show, Who Killed Bobby, with Shane O'Sullivan, the author of Who Killed Bobby and the filmmaker RFK, of the film RFK Must Die. And Mr. O'Sullivan shows in his studies and the evidence, the various evidence, the autopsy evidence, the other forensic evidence, which shows that Bobby Kennedy was not killed by Sirhan Sirhan. He was, in fact, the fatal shots were fired by an as-yet unknown gunman standing behind Bobby Kennedy. You get the two complete interviews with Stephen Jones on the science of the collapse of the World Trade Center and with David Ray Griffin, 9/11 Unanswered Questions. It's an hour-long interview, and you also get Professor Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, the seminal work which started the independent 9/11 investigative movement. And believe me, it's a huge movement. You wouldn't know it from looking at cable TV. You won't know it by turning to other stations on the dial and the radio. You only know about it because here at WPKN, well, you can learn about it at WPKN because we're non-commercial, because we don't have to go on bended knees to corporate sponsors. We go to you, our listeners, who generously have been supporting us for years. So we ask you to please call 203-384-9756 and make a pledge for $100. Just ask for the from JFK to 9/11 premium for $100. You get the CD set of History Counts. You get audio mixes by our general manager, Peter Beauchamp, and you'll also get the book, The New Pearl Harbor, by David Ray Griffin, and that's by calling one of our volunteers at 203-384-9756. Hi, Eric. I'm joined here by Eric. Excellent. Thank you very much for being here.
It's great to see you on this. I had the most pleasant time waking up this morning.
It's a Saturday morning.
And it kind of put a little pep in my step because I said, I got to get down there quick.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for coming down here.
Well, you guys have done a yeoman job. And
it's been a privilege, and it's nice to be able to hand over the microphone to you, Eric.
Well, what it comes down to, Ken, is a lot of times it's just that people, this is one of the things that I don't even want to say the word, but anyhow, people take for granted. This is like one of the best communication mediums going. And you guys did an excellent job.
Well,
thank you to the listeners.
Thank you, listeners, for calling into 203-384-9756 and making those pledges to keep us on the air.
Well, I hope you have a great day, and I hope that the people can digest all the good stuff that you gave them. Because there was no commercials. There was no, well, let's
not
take
one.
A break and we'll be right back at you.
None of that.
I mean, you got a thorough understanding. And what, if anybody interested, they'll go check out for themselves.
God bless everybody.
Peace.
Thank you very much. Peace.